This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
I'm going to speak about a half acre that makes hell tremble. A half acre that makes hell tremble. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, God, with all of my heart for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. And I thank you, God, that your word says that you will enable us to fight from heaven. I ask tonight, oh God, that I may fight from heaven, for I know it's your delight to feed your church. These are your people, oh God. And I'm asking for manna from heaven, that you quicken my mind and my heart, my physical body. That you speak through me. Lord, let your kingdom come. Your kingdom is not in word, it's in power. And I'm asking, oh God, that you put an anointing on the words that you would place upon my lips, and that you would allow to flow from my inward parts, that you would vanquish powers of darkness and give courage to those whose hands are hanging down and whose knees are feeble. I'm asking, oh God, that ministries be born tonight in this sanctuary. Callings of God be spoken into people's hearts. I'm asking, Lord, that people who have come tonight, who have, Lord, have been living under the lies of the enemy, would take courage and stand in the power of God. I'm asking, Lord, that mighty men and women of God be birthed this night, O God, this night, that there be a birth in the heart of faith and a willingness to follow and believe. And Father, I thank you, God, with all of my heart, in Jesus' name. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 13, actually it is, and it's beginning at a time when Saul is leading the army of Israel. It was a time of spiritual declension in Israel, as always is the case when you have leadership that is disobedient to the word of God. Saul was a disobedient man. He had every promise and potential to become a great king, a great leader. But he was stubborn, and the stubbornness of his heart caused him to stray from simple obedience by faith and subsequently lose touch with God. And that's a tragedy. It seems to repeat itself throughout history. You can start out minister of the gospel, or you and I can start out with such incredible promise, and because of an indwelt stubbornness in the heart that is never fully surrendered to God, we can end up missing everything that God has planned for our lives. And so he ends up leading an army that is trembling, a people that are hiding. He ends up, after disobeying God, with a show of bravado, as it is. He goes out against the Philistine army and he wins a victory. But this particular victory, because Israel at that time is in subjection, as it is, to the Philistine nation around them, brings the ire of the Philistine army against them. And now Saul is in a predicament because he's really not hearing from God. He's really not walking in obedience. He really has no power. And I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how eloquently you may speak. I don't care how much Greek and Hebrew you may know. If you're not walking in obedience, you are powerless before the enemies of God and powerless before the enemies of your own soul. You may have some wonderful, clever devices that you think have come from the throne of God itself. But if Christ is not in us, if the Holy Spirit is not with you, you have no power. And it becomes evident after a while. Verse 4, chapter 13, 1 Samuel says that all Israel heard that Saul had smitten the Gerizim of the Philistines. And verse 5 says the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. Now, it's incredible. I want you to know when you start out walking the Christian walk, you may have a victory or two in the beginning. with an unsurrendered heart. But eventually, you're going to find yourself up against an enemy that you have no power to come against. Jude speaks about it in the New Testament. He talks about people who are make great boasts in God, but they don't have a right relationship with God. Jude says they speak evil of things that they don't even understand and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They walk around rebuking the devil as if they're, and they themselves are not walking in obedience. And they're not aware that there's this incredible power that's come against them that they have no power to stand against. Folks, you and I are no match for the powers of darkness. Trust me, you're no match. If you think you are, you're very shortly going to find out that you're not. It's only in Christ. It's only in the power of Christ. It's only in the victory of the cross. It's only by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that you and I will ever stand and ever be victorious. It's another man's victory, folks, and by grace we're invited into it. That's the way it works. We're invited into a marvelous victory that God Almighty Himself won when His Son Jesus died on the cross on Calvary and 3 days later, by the Holy Ghost, raised Him from the dead. This is our victory. This is our boast. This is the Christian strength. Apart from this victory, you and I have no authority whatsoever against any power of darkness. And the Bible says that Samuel arose in verse 15 and he got him up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. So I want you to picture this. Saul has 600 warriors. He's standing against 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, and he's got 600 men. The Bible says they're all trembling and the rest are all hiding in caves. Quite an army. Now the Philistines begin to send out spoilers. Verse 17, it says, and the spoilers. Now the spoilers are pre-raiding parties. This is before the big battle. It's like the devil comes and taunts and says, I'm just going to show you what I can do. Not only can you not fight against my army, you can't even stop the little raiding parties I'm going to send out. And he sends out three different raiding parties, these spoilers. And he begins to, they pick and plunder little battles here and there and begin to start to erode or take away the confidence. And the enemy will send spoilers against you, send little battles that you may find that you can't win. And ultimately, the focus of these little battles is to destroy your confidence in Almighty God. Because a much greater battle is coming against you, and the devil himself knows it. Now, verse 19 tells us there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. And the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. There were no weapons. Now, imagine, bad enough fighting an army that big with 600 men, but worse, 600 men that don't have any weapons. How do you fight against chariots with rocks in your hands or a stick from a tree? It's absolute ridiculousness. But the only people that did have weapons, in verse 22, it says, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan his son, there was found. So Saul had a sword in his hand, but he was a disobedient man. He had authority, had anointing, but he was not walking in obedience. And so the sword, in effect, without faith in God, was useless. You can know this book inside out, but if you're not an obedient man or woman of God, and you are not walking in faith to everything that God has promised to you, doesn't matter how big the sword is. You can carry one of those big purple Bibles with a big sword all across the front. You can need three ushers to help you get to your seat with it. You can know it inside out and you can quote it all around. But if there's no obedience in your heart, you're going to get absolutely slaughtered when you go into battle. And there was another young man, Saul's son, Jonathan. Now, he also had a sword in his hand. But with the sword that was in Jonathan's hand, there was something else. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit of time. Now, in chapter 14, in verse 3, they're standing on the hillside, Saul with his 600 men. And I want you to look at the spiritual condition now of the army of Israel. He said, and Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother. Now, when the ark was taken, we heard about the ark this morning, but when the Philistines came into battle and took the ark, there was a son of Eli, both of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were greedy, immoral men who were put into the ministry. And they stood at the door of the temple, not content to live by faith. The priests in the Old Testament were to take a three-pronged hook. They were to cast it into the pot where the meat was boiling of people's offerings, and whatever came out of the pot was supposed to be theirs. And that was a type of those who lived by faith, who preached the gospel. But they're not willing to live by faith. And they stood at the door, and they demanded the choicest cuts of meat as the people came into the temple. The Hophni and Phinehas ministry is very much alive in America today in our generation. Turn on any Christian television show and you'll see them. They're there at the door of the temple and they're demanding of the people. And the Bible says that Hophni and Phinehas made the people abhor the offering of the Lord. There was a scorning that got into the hearts of the people of God towards giving to the work of the Lord because of these greedy, immoral men who stood at the door. Now, when the ark was taken, because of the backsliddenness of Eli and the greedy immoralness of his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, the ark was taken by the Philistines in battle. When the ark was taken, both of the sons of Eli were slain. Eli himself fell off a wall and broke his neck. And one of the wives of one of his sons, bore a son and named him Ichabod. When she heard that her husband was dead, she went into labor. She had a son. She called him Ichabod. And that means the glory of God is departed. What a name to have as a child. The glory of God is departed from Israel. That's Ichabod. Now here's Saul on the hill with his army. He has Ichabod's nephew is the high priest, is his priest. And he has Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. Now, they're on the hill. They're trembling. They have no weaponry. They have a disobedient king. And they've got Ichabod's nephew. It just doesn't get any worse than this. I mean, the guy's got no power. The glory of God has departed from him. He's standing beside the ark. And perhaps he's saying, well, I've got to come up with a six-step plan to victory. Or maybe he's giving one of those three rhyming word sermons. Who knows? But there's no power in it. There's nothing that would inspire the people. There's nothing. The glory of God is gone. And the people are standing on the hillside and they're trembling. One man has a sword, but he has no anointing. He can't wield it. There's no power. Have you ever sat in a place where the Bible is open and the man has the sword, but there's no power? You know it. The moment he opens his mouth, there's no power. You're yawning. You're fighting to stay awake. There's no passion in your heart. There's no sense that God is in his voice. You're not hearing anything from heaven. And you know it in your heart. You keep looking at your watch and hoping it's going to be over soon. And you see, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 14:3, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. There was somebody in the crowd who had a sword. And he said, basically, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. I'm done with this powerless religion. I'm done with this disobedient leadership. I'm done with this fearful army with no weaponry. I'm done with listening to Ichabod's nephew stand over the ark and just make absolute nothing pronouncements that don't do anything for the kingdom of God. And Jonathan said, he just slipped out of the camp. And folks, I'm telling you, that's what's happening in our generation. There are people who are here tonight. There are people who are hearing my voice over the internet in the coming days who are just saying, I'm just so sick of the powerlessness. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a half acre that God wants to give you that's going to cause hell to tremble. But in your heart, you don't make a big deal. You don't say anything to anybody. You just say, I'm out of here. I'm out of this powerlessness. You don't say anything to anybody. You don't argue with anybody. You just get alone with God and say, God, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the empty words. I'm tired of the rhyming sermons. I'm tired of Ichabod's nephew standing over the ark of God. I'm tired of the powerlessness in my own life. I'm tired, God. I'm getting out of this place and I'm going to do something that will bring honor and glory to your name. And Jonathan slips out. And in verse 6, chapter 14, 1 Samuel, Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, he said, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. He said, behold, I am with thee according to thine heart. I don't know who this armor bearer was, but I love the man. He doesn't even have a sword at this time. But he says, Jonathan, you want to do it? I'm with you. And this is an absolute type of the New Testament church. And guess who the armor bearer is? Now, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Now, the armor bearer's responsibility was to actually carry the armor. And when the man was going into battle, he would clothe, as it is, the man who was going to fight with armor. It's as simple as that. It's not very complicated. He carried the armor. The armor bearer in the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit, because we're not able to put on the armor. Oh, we can desire to put it on, but it's the Holy Spirit who has to put Christ upon us. He is the armor bearer. And the armor bearer says to Jonathan, he says, something has gotten into your heart. And there's an excitement in the heart of God when he finds a man or woman of God that says, hey, it doesn't matter with God whether there's a million of us or one of us. God can win the victory all by himself. He says, come on, let's get over into the camp of the enemy. And let's just see what God is going to do. And the armor bearer says, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. You got to understand how much God is with you when you decide to get up. You can be 90 years old here tonight and you just get sick of the devil running all over your family and your grandchildren. You say, enough! And the Holy Spirit says, I'm with you. Let's go into the prayer closet. We're going to do some battle. And I'm going to teach you. I'm going to present to you the armor of God. John chapter 16, verse 14. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he shall receive of mine and he will show it to you. He will present it to you. He's going to have, as it is, all the armor that I've won for you as the Church of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And he's going to show it to you. He's going to show it to you at the time you need it. The Holy Spirit's going to come and says, hey, you got a battle with fear? Try a little bit of love. Put a little bit of love on. Because the Scripture says perfect love casts out fear. Hallelujah. And he presents to you the armor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for that with all of my heart. Do all that is in your heart. I'm with you. Hallelujah. Now, Jonathan heads out to the Philistine camp. And he says to the armor bearer, verse 10, he says, if they say, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign to us. That's interesting, isn't it? He said, if they say, come up. If they challenge us. You see, the devil will challenge you when you go to take any ground that he's got in your life. He will challenge you. And you know, folks, that should be exciting to you and I. When the devil challenges us, we don't have to cower away, nor do we have to argue with him. We just start moving towards. That's what made David a man after God's heart. Everyone is polishing their armor on the hillside. And a teenage boy with skinny little arms shows up and says, hey, don't be afraid. I'll go fight with Goliath. I know who God is. The Bible says he took a few little stones in his pouch and he ran down the hill towards the giant. He says, you come to me with all your weaponry and all your words, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. He says, this day the Lord's going to give you and the host of the Philistines into my hand, and you will know that there is a God in Israel. God looks for a man like that. God looks for a woman like that all through history. He looks. His eyes run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right towards him. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. And Jonathan says in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 11, it says, and both of them discovered themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. You know, it's amazing. In verse 12, it says, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we'll show you a thing. If I can put it in today's language. Okay, come on up to us. We'll show you a thing or two. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Hallelujah. You see, when anybody rises up and attempts to do something for God, the very first thing that happens is the devil comes to mock you. Oh, here you are, one more time, crawling out of your hole. And you think you're going to win the victory this time, don't you? Well, come up and I'll show you a thing or two. You know, folks, he's a liar, Jesus said. And he's the father of lies. He cannot speak the truth. If he takes the time to tell you you won't win, be assured you will. If he tells you you're not going to amount to anything, be assured. Be assured God has a plan for your life. If he tells you you'll never win, be assured. You're already more than a conqueror. He knows it. The devil is no better than Ahab. Ahab, a wicked king of Israel, suffered a mortal blow in battle. And he was propped up in his chariot to look like he had life, but the blood and the life of him was draining out right into the bottom of the chariot, just like Elijah had told him that he was going to die and dogs were going to lick his blood in the streets. The devil suffered a mortal blow on Calvary's hill. Christ triumphed over him. He is propped up in his chariot tonight to make it look like he's on the victory side, but he has no power. He has no authority. All hell is afraid of the weakest of God's saints that finally lays hold of this truth and said, I have been cowering before a propped up dead king who has no strength, no authority, no power, big army, but he's already been defeated. The decree is already defeated. It's already over. The Bible says in verse 13, and Jonathan climbed up on his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. I thank God for that with all of my... When Gideon went against the Midianites in the Old Testament, an army that was invading Israel, God said, I want you to cry, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. In other words, Gideon, you're not going into this battle alone. I'm with you. And it's not only your sword, it's my sword that's going to be slaying the enemies that stand before you. It's God's choice to work through humanity. It's God's choice to flow in power and victory through His church. He could do it with angels, folks. He could do it all by Himself. He could just send leaflets from heaven. He could send a decree, turn the whole world back to Him again. But He's chosen to work through His church, you and I, the sword of God through the frail humanity. What an incredible invitation that you and I, in our frailty, are called to walk with Almighty God into battle. Amazing when you really begin to see it. The Scripture says He climbed up on His hands and His feet. It's not an easy thing. You've got to get up. We've got to begin this walk. We've got to head up to our enemies. There are mountains before us, and sometimes it's simply inefficient just to say move. Sometimes we've got to climb and tell it to move from the top down. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had a friend of mine one time that told me, he said, I was a little scared. He was preaching here one time, and just before he spoke, or sometime prior to that, he told me, he says, oh, Pastor, he said, it's been mountaintop for me all the way since I've become a Christian. And it scared me when he said that. He said, yes, I've been on top of the mountain. The mountain's been on top of me. But it's been mountaintop all the way. And sometimes the journey is tough. Sometimes we got to get on our hands and knees. Speaks to me of humility. Speaks to me of a willingness to climb. Speaks to me of a heart that is not willing to stand on the opposite side of the battle polishing its armor and prophesying about what God intends to do perhaps someday. But somebody who's willing to climb and face the enemy of God and the enemies of his own soul. The Scripture says in verse 14, at that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. Wasn't a big battle, was it now? Wasn't a great victory. Jonathan goes up and we like to take it beyond really what it was. It was a half acre of land. Now, an acre of land is 220 feet by 220 feet. A half acre is 110 feet by 110 feet. It wasn't very big. It's not maybe about the size of this sanctuary or so. And Jonathan and his armor bearer went up and slew about 20 men on this half acre of land. And when they did this, verse 15 says there was a trembling in the host in the field and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, even the spoilers, even those that were sent out to begin to try to convince Israel they had no power against the enemies of God. They also trembled, and even the earth quaked with a very great trembling. Amazing when you begin to see it, folks. When that Christian, I believe that with all my heart, when that young Christian takes the first step. I remember the first time I ever spoke publicly for Christ was by default. I was supposed to go to a meeting and sing a song with my guitar. It was a total setup by the Holy Spirit. Then the other man, another police officer who was supposed to be speaking, tells me on that day that he can't make it. And so I end up having to speak. I've never spoken anywhere before. I didn't know what to do. And I had Teresa, my armor bearer, with me. Neither one of us had ever done anything public in ministry. And we're starting out in a halfway house. And it's a coffee house with all ex-convicts. It is not a Christian place. This is a non-Christian coffee house. And we're going there. I'm a police officer. She's a police officer's wife. We live out in the country. Neither of us have ever spoken. And now we are completely set up in this meeting to have to get up and speak. And I was so afraid. My knees were knocking. My hands were sweating. I could barely play my guitar. I got up in the meeting and I don't even know what I said. I just know it started coming out. And I just started speaking. And as I was speaking, everybody started crying. It was amazing. These are all guys. You wouldn't believe the testimony meeting at the end of this session. 20 of 21 people there gave their lives to Jesus Christ for the first time in that room. And at the end of it all, their testimonies were phenomenal. One man got up, and I'm a police officer, and he gets up and says, I'm in court right now, charged with armed robbery. And I pleaded not guilty. He says, but I want to tell everybody in the room tonight, I did the crime. I mean, this, you remember that? He says, I did the crime. And he said, I'm going to go and change my plea to guilty and do my time. If Christ did this for me, the least I can do is live for Him. What a testimony meeting that was. I remember leaving there just so astounded, but so encouraged that, hey, God, you can use me. And I believe that night a trembling came into the host of darkness. Because once again, there was somebody. Nobody special, no royal lineage, no great natural ability, no Bible school training, but just there and willing to speak on behalf of God, willing to face the enemies that were before me, and Teresa and I together. I believe, I didn't understand it then, but I believe there's a trembling in the host. That the powers of darkness said, oh no, another one has risen up that is willing to trust God and willing to believe. You see, the devil knows. The devil knows that Nigeria could happen. The devil knows Jamaica could happen. The devil knows Times Square Church, that I could end up in this pulpit. The devil knows what God can do through a surrendered vessel that's willing to trust Him. And there's a trembling in the host. And the Bible speaks of a disunity that came. You see, evil is never unified. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah and Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. We're talking about these thousands of chariots and thousands of warriors, tens of thousands of people are now beating each other. Because 20 men have died on a half acre. You've got to begin to see it with the eyes of the Spirit. Why is this happening? This whole host is demon possessed. They're all demon inspired to come against the people of God. But now, another man, and you just see the internal fighting in the powers of darkness. Oh, I told you to go out and spoil. Why did you have to invite them up? Now we've got somebody that's laid hold of God one more time, and you know what happens to us when somebody lays hold of God. You know! And they start beating each other and fighting among each other. There is no unity in the devil's kingdom. And then Saul looked out, and the people now were with him. In verse 17, he said, now number now and see who's gone out from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahiah, now remember Ahiah is Ichabod's nephew, bring the ark. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. It came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. And I love that because he calls for the priest to go through the whole religious thing. But it's too late. We were in Jamaica. Now, folks, for those who were there, you know that God came in an incredible way. They're still in revival there today. Crime's down 80%, and there's all kinds of churches in there. Now, the government is infusing money. The spirit of poverty is broken. And I remember after the crusade was over, I was in a meeting, and a pastor came up to me, and he says, you know, he says, we're bringing in next month, he said, there's some speaker, and he says, we're going to do, now, don't ask me what this is, but we're going to do spiritual mapping, he said. And then we're going to go up to mountaintops and bind the powers of darkness, and then revival might come. And I said, you're too late, man. I said, God has already come. Revival has already started. You know, Saul said to Ahiah, just withdraw your hand. Enough of the religious nonsense. Enough of all this foolishness. The victory's already won. Goodness sakes. Christ rose from the dead. He baptized his church in the Holy Spirit. We have the armor bearer with us now. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. By these, we become partakers of the very nature of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. By these promises, we are told that we have power to tread on all the works of the devil. We are told that we have power to tread him underfoot, and nothing he sends against us could even hurt us. We are told that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We are told that we are witnesses that are raised up to stand on a hillside where all who live in darkness can see the light in the life of Jesus Christ. We are told we are to declare and compel a generation to come into the kingdom of God. Four steps, nothing. One step, trust in Jesus Christ and walk with him. Withdraw your hand, Saul said. Enough of your empty religion. It goes on, verses 21 and 22. It says, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites and were with Saul and Jonathan. Those that were in the enemy's camp, when they saw the power of God come, you see, they had gone to the enemy's camp because it was the only place of safety. And many people are living there today. But when they saw the victory again, and we saw that the enemy was vanquished by faith, and I believe that if there are in this sanctuary men and women who will rise up, and you will take that half acre that's before you, whatever that means in your life, your children may be in the enemy's camp tonight, but when they see the victory come into your life, when they see the victory come into your home, they will rise up and leave the devil's camp and come to the side of God. And they'll begin to walk with God when they see this is not a religion. This is a reality. The Spirit of the living God is more real than the very air we breathe tonight. And also he said, likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in battle. The backslidden, the compromised, the fearful. When a man or woman of God will arise, or a church will arise that knows the power of its God, the fearful, the backslidden, the captivated will come out of darkness and begin to walk with God again. And that is the hope in my heart for this generation. That's the hope in my heart for every country throughout the world. That's the hope in my heart for teenagers that are captivated and church young people that are backslidden and pastors that have lost touch with God. The hope in my heart is somebody somewhere. In the church that they have to be in, even if it's dead, will not make a stink about it, not make an issue about it. Will just say, I'm going to get a hold of God, and I'm going to start walking in the victory that Christ bought for me on Calvary. And as you begin to walk in victory, the captivated, the backslidden, the fearful, the hiding, start to come out and say, we too want to be partakers of this great victory in Christ. That's the hope, beloved. It starts with the half acre. And the half acre is that area that God will reveal to you that the enemy holds in your life. The half acre can be the fear that's in your mind. It can be your own self-image can be the half acre. The devil's quite content to let you sit here and sing songs. As long as he can have that piece of ground and tell you you'll never amount to anything in Christ. Quite content. Sing to your heart's content. Jump up and down, clap your hands, get all excited. But he's got the first half acre, and you know it. Quite content to have you go to church and tithe and sing and do all these things. But he's got your children. He's got your testimony at home, and you know it. He knows it. You got a bad temper. You have no control over it. Your kids see it. He's got the half acre. But the Holy Spirit says to you tonight, I'm with you. If it's in your heart to go take it back, I'm with you. Can you understand that? Can you hear it? He says, I'm with you. If it's in your heart, I'm with you. If it's in your heart. And I will bring the armor you need. And I'll be right behind you. And anybody that slips around behind you, I'll kill them. Don't you worry about it. I'll get them. Scripture says Jonathan went to the half acre and slew, and anybody that fell behind him, the armor bearer slew him. I don't know what kind of weapon he had, but whatever it was sufficient. He killed him with it. Amazing. Everything in the Bible points to Christ. Everything in the Bible points to the victory that Christ has won for his church. Beloved, will you do God and yourself a favor tonight? And will you get up and just start with the half acre? Whatever that half acre is, just start with it. And you know what it is, because the Holy Spirit's speaking it to you right now. You know what it is. I could draw up a list and then maybe fill an altar with 50 people who fall within the list, but the rest will escape. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the one who knows what is the first half acre. And I make you a promise tonight. If you get up and go after that first piece of land that the devil has and you do it in faith, the Holy Spirit will go with you. You will win the victory and all hell will begin to tremble. All hell. Oh, folks, I know this. I know this. I've walked this. I've lived this. I've come through this. I understand what this is about. I understand that the enemy has no power when there's a child of God standing in the battle who knows his or her position in Jesus Christ. The enemy has no power. And tonight God's going to give you back a half acre that's going to cause hell to tremble. And he's going to allow you to feel the trembling of hell. There's some Jonathans here tonight that just say, okay, enough, just enough. I'm going to do this quietly. I'm not going to make a big noise. I'm not going to upset my church about it. But I'm just going to get up and do it. And I'm just going quietly into the camp of the enemy. And that area where the devil challenges me, that's the area I'm going for. Where he says you can't, that's where I'm going. Where he says you can never be, that's where I'm going. Where he says you'll never change, that's where I'm going. I'm going right where he challenges me. Right where that little piece of land that he owns, I'm going after it. And the Holy Spirit's coming with me. And in Jesus' name, we're going to win a marvelous victory together. And I'm going to see other people come in after me because I'm going to have a testimony that God is able. And I'm believing with all my heart that there's going to be a trembling. Do not think that hell began to tremble the day that John Wesley came to Jesus Christ, for those who know church history. Or D.L. Moody, just a bumbling, stumbling 17-year-old with very little education, sat on a park bench and said, by the Holy Spirit in me, I will be that man that God uses. The day that Charles Finney was born, the day that, I don't mean just men, there's great women of God who were born. Do not think that the moment they ended up in an altar that hell began to shake. The devil knows that whole countries can come back to God through one vessel. One vessel. It doesn't take any more than one. God and you are a majority. Do you know that tonight? Only takes one. But you have to be truthful, surrendered, walking in obedience, and willing to fight for the glory of God. And you will know victory. It will astound you. It will astound your family. It will astound your friends. You'll look back at the end of your life, and it will be like a dream. Remember the Israelites says, when God turned back our captivity, we were like them that dream. All I can say to this point in my own life, what a journey this has been. If I die tomorrow, it's been a whole lot more than I've deserved. But if I live, I have one prayer. I want to kick the sides out of hell and see people released to the glory of God. I don't say that presumptuously, but I know what God can do. There's only one purpose to live, to see people set free, to see the church come alive. to see captives released and the brokenhearted healed by the presence of God. I'll give an altar call tonight in the education annex. We'll wait for you to make your way down here as well. But everybody here tonight that needs to take that first half acre, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. As we stand, I want you to slip out of your seats, balcony, go to either exit. Main sanctuary, slip out, come down here, that area that the enemy says you can't. But tonight you're saying, no, with God I'm going to. I'm going to face this power of darkness that's trying to defeat me. And I'm going to take this half acre of land back. Hallelujah. Make your way down here, please. And we're going to pray and have a shout of victory tonight in this house. Thank God. Can you hear hell trembling right now? Folks, can you hear it? Can you hear it? People are moving to the area that the enemy has said you can't have it. Even as I speak today, I can hear the voice of darkness saying to people around here, well, you think you're going to win. Just come and see. You step in. Make your way here. And I know God's going to win a marvelous victory through your life. I believe it. I've lived it. I know it. Hallelujah. It's simply not debatable. It's going to happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we sing a song, please? Greg, and wait for everybody to come. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. The devil has camped on this half acre long enough. I'm taking it back. That's where it starts. You don't have to win the whole battle the first day. Half acre at a time. I'm taking it back. It may seem small, but it'll plant faith in your heart that'll astound you. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you tonight that you have brought to this altar mighty men and women of God. Not in ourselves, Lord, but in you, in your might, in the power of your might. God, we believe tonight that in the power of your might, that we will conquer, that we will stand. And as Paul said, having done all, to still stand. We are more than conquerors through Christ who has saved us. Pray with me now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have called me into the battle for the glory of your name. And tonight, I accept your invitation to start by taking back the first half acre in my life, my home, my family, that the enemy has occupied for too long. Satan and powers of darkness, I put you on notice. When you challenged me, you challenged the living God. You challenged the God who triumphed over you 2,000 years ago. And has proven conclusively, time and again, that you stand powerless before him. I am in him. He is in me. He is with me. He has invited me to battle against you. I have been given authority to tread upon you and all of your weaponry, and nothing. Nothing shall by any means hurt me, for I am more, I am more, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. God, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh God! Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, God! Thank you, Lord! Now, beloved, listen to me. Don't you ever limit God. That was the sin of Israel that left them in the wilderness. It says they limited the Holy One of Israel. There is no limit to what God can do through your life. There's no limit. Don't limit God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.